is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I'm joined by my colleague Judy Dempsey, senior scholar for the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. She's in Berlin. These last days, there have been many remarks by the President of the United States with regard to the EU in general about trade. Right now, we have one remark that I think is representative of the whole of the EU. This is a Swiss minister hoping for a result on U.S. trade talks by July. That seems to be a reasonable matter. I pay attention to Switzerland because it is the theoretical banking center of the universe. Switzerland was stunned to be saddled with steeper tariffs than its neighbors in the European Union when U.S. President Donald Trump early last month unveiled a raft of proposed import duties on U.S. trading partners. So Switzerland is going forward hoping for the best. Europe, on the other hand, last week heard for the first time a 50% tariff. Punitive was the context on EU because there is no immediate agreement. That was amended within hours and days by the president, saying that will start July 9th. Aiming for July, as the Swiss minister is also aiming for July. So, Judy, this is a very difficult story to generalize enough about. It appears that the president is jousting with elements of the EU, 27 states, all with their own languages and their own directions. However, the general understanding is that the EU wants a deal and the US wants a deal. Is that accurate? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. What is accurate now? I mean, the EU is actually holding pretty good when it comes to having a position over tariffs. And the EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, who was in touch with, phoned up Donald Trump at the weekend to discuss what on earth is going on with these slapping on 50% tariffs on iPhones. And then he sort of backed down. Yes, it was a very nice conversation. But the thing is, the Europeans just don't know what they're negotiating with. And every week is a different formula. Every week is a different element of tariffs. And I think what's off-putting for the Europeans, and indeed for the rest of the world, is the sheer unpredictability, that it's so difficult to plan. It's so difficult to understand at what stage you go into negotiations and what you put on the table. So this has been quite disorientating for the Europeans, but they have held together so far.
Yes, I'm struck by how it is that there are not breakaways, as there are when we come to warfighting matters. Is there one capital you would recommend we watch more than any other, or is this a collective conversation that's going on all the time?
I think it's now becoming a collective conversation because the individual member states of the European Union have seen that if one leader goes off to the Oval Office and thinks they can do a deal with Trump and then comes back and then they're sort of, it's just dismissed, they realize they can't do this bilaterally and they realize they have to go in as a bloc. So the EU 27 member states are holding firm. And indeed, when Britain had a so-called deal with the United States, it turns out that it's not a big deal in any case. So the Europeans now realize position of strength comes from a position of unity.
Yes, and are we looking for a hasty conclusion or talks to be engaged for a dominating period? July was mentioned by the Swiss minister and by the EU, well, elements of the commission. Is that too early, July? I mean, it's only 5 weeks from here.
We just don't know, John. I mean, it could be President Trump may announce something next weekend or in 2 weekends' time, or say, no, well, August. Oh, no, I didn't mean that. Oh, well, we'll have to wait and see. And he's given the Europeans a bit of breathing space. But what is this kind of breathing space when we're still in a kind of multilateral system that the Europeans want to hold on to, and indeed the Canadians and the Australians and New Zealand and Japan and South Korea and other countries as well? But it's the element of uncertainty. It's the element of fickleness. It's the element of unpredictability, which is not so much rattling the European Union, but they're just looking at what on earth is happening over the other side of the Atlantic to the US administration when it comes to the future functioning of global trade?
Ukraine. The president momentarily has moved to speak harshly of Vladimir Putin, and the details over these last days of a massive drone attack on Kyiv. Last time I saw a picture on Reuters of burning buildings in Kyiv, huge smoke plumes, the sort of thing you never want to see about your capital. And the president speaks harshly of Mr. Putin, having spoken affectionately of Mr. Putin on and off over these last months. And the Ukrainian war continues, as we understand it, with the negotiations pending, not actually underway. So I wanted to know, again, this is a matter of the European Union wants to assist. Does it want to be at the table? Does it believe that it's necessary going forward? Like that night train that Herr Merz, Mr. Starmer, and Mr. Macron and Mr. Tusk took into Kyiv. Does Europe want to be present when the negotiations reengage?
Well, do they all want to be on the night train going to Kyiv to negotiate with President Zelensky? And the Europeans realize that they still need the United States on board. But this is the most disturbing element of President Trump's attitude towards Russia's wholesale invasion of Ukraine, is that he changes his rhetoric from time to time. One day after 2 hours of Putin, oh, he's a great guy, we got on really well, and we called each other first names, Vladimir and Donald. And then after this extraordinary bombardment of Kyiv, President Trump changes his mind. I think we have to be aware of two things, that President Trump is certainly influenced by the last person or those who have advised him on dealing with President Putin or indeed President Zelensky. So this is the first thing. And secondly, watch out for cracks in the Republican Party. Lindsey Graham, who is a firm supporter of Donald Trump, is now wanting fresh sanctions and tough sanctions on Russia. And this might be interesting, the cracks in what's happening in the Republican Party. But we're back to the same idea, like the tariffs. It's unpredictable. The language used by President Trump just vacillates wildly. But at the end of the day, to answer your question, the Europeans are not in a position to actually sit at the negotiating table. To do that, they need capabilities, they need military strength, they need unity, and they have to decide what sort of negotiation position they would enter into if they were invited to the table.
If they were invited to the table. All right, now we come back to Europe's self-awareness. I know we're speaking in generalities, but that's what we're left with, given the headlines are bouncing around. The United States in general has lost affection for the Ukrainian war. I'm making a statement that is meant to be persuasion, not fact. However, you mentioned there are political leaders who are committed to Ukraine, but the administration cannot be said to be committed to Ukraine at this point. So is Europe committed to Ukraine in that fashion? Is there a public sentiment to sustain the war?
I think generally speaking, the Europeans are committed to Ukraine. And I mean, it varies. The Nordics, the Scandinavians, Central Europeans, and non-EU Britain, Germany as well, France as well, they're committed. But what does this commitment mean? Yes, to give political support. Yes, to give financial assistance. And they give military assistance, but it's not enough. But so far they are committed. But this commitment has to go beyond the elements of the political support and the economic support. It needs military support, intelligence, logistics, and this is where the United States is just so important, especially with the Patriot missiles. So commitment is one thing, but matching that commitment with resources is another.
I'm speaking with Judy Dempsey of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. We've been surrounding issues that don't have clarity, trade and Ukraine. When we come back, we're going to be very clear about Herr Merz, the new chancellor of all of Germany, and remarks he's made about Ukraine, remarks he's made about trade, remarks he's made about NATO upcoming in July. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.